going to speak to you this morning, and we're going to speak about desiring God's goodness like we've been. That's what we're seeking in this place, right? We're seeking to experience His goodness. Not just here, but out there, everywhere. So, desires, that's the theme. And we know that we have many desires that go through our minds and our hearts. But we desire good things, right? Not bad stuff. We desire the good stuff. Just to sort of get us into, just to stir our emotions a little bit this morning, we're going to look at a few good things in life. Like remind ourselves of how good God is and how good the things are that He blesses us with. So yeah, please just enjoy, and we trust to experience God's goodness and just a new appreciation for just desiring His goodness, wanting His goodness in our lives. Okay, I'm just going to close my eyes quickly. Father, we thank You this morning, Lord, that we can be expectant, Lord, to experience You, to hear You, and Lord, we just say, Lord, that You speak to us this morning. Amen. Okay, so I think we agree that the level of our desires directly correlates with the satisfaction that's connected to it. Somehow like a teacher, a lecturer or something. So imagine walking in the desert for a few days and you're hungry, you don't have food, and you get a little crumb of bread or a Rice Krispie or something. That satisfaction is not going to be what you're really desiring at that moment. Compared to walking into this banquet hall of all the best food that you can get, just being satisfied. The hunger has been satisfied. Or going to some event, and the only reception you get is from the security guard at the car. No one greets you, talking. So sort of the expectation for the night won't really be so greatly satisfied compared to getting at the front door and there's the president or the king of the country receiving you and giving you his undivided attention all night long. You know, it will so just feel good. Much better. Well, how about arriving at eternity shore, like they call it, even one day, and being met by Almighty God, and He meets you and He says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." I think we all agree that's the ultimate desire and satisfaction that we can have. And now we were reading a bit through Genesis 43, 45 about Joseph in the week. And what stood out for us was most about Joseph, you know, in Egypt, and was it was actually his brothers and the desires that his brothers faced, you know. I don't know if that stood out to you, but we spoke about that. And when you recall a bit the story of Joseph, you know, he was Jacob's son, his loved, the favorite one, and his brothers' desires went from evil, bad desires, wanting to kill him, throwing him in a pit, selling him off into slavery, really bad desires, of jealousy, obviously. And 22 years later, they find themselves with a desire for grain, and they have to go to Egypt to go and buy grain. And they just need to go and buy some food. Of course, not knowing it's their brother, Joseph, from who they have to ask it. And they don't recognize him. And it turns out that, as we know, they end up having to ask for mercy from their brother. They had a desire for mercy. That's what we were talking about. It's just why Joseph was testing his brother so much in that moment. Why did he have to do, why didn't they just say, "Welcome, here I am," and forgive himself? And I thought about it. I think it's got to do with that conviction of their sin. You know, it's like us coming to Jesus, and our hearts first need to be prepared to conviction, to really accept it, I think, and to receive that salvation. So, you know, they went into Egypt. Joseph said, "No, who are you? You look like spies. Go away. Bring me your, how many brothers? If you have another brother, bring another brother with." And after a while, their father Jacob allowed them to take the only other son of Rachel, the other favorite of Jacob, just to go and get the grain from Joseph. And they get there, and you know, it's tense moments. Again, Joseph sits them down, have a meal, and the next day he gives them the grain and sends them, and sends his guys after them, army soldiers, to find, of course, the planted cup, the cup of the Pharaoh in the bag of grain of Benjamin. And it's this testing, his brothers realizing they're guilty, realizing maybe just relating this possibility of losing the other youngest brother again, bringing back those memories of what they did to Joseph. And they stand at a need for mercy, not to be made into slaves in Egypt. And so there's many desires, and it ends up in that beautiful place where Joseph, he says he couldn't hold it anymore, and he reveals himself and says, "I'm Joseph, your brother, who you sold into slavery. God has sent me before you so that I can save your lives by great deliverance." And he says, "Come." And he hugs them and says, he cries over them, and they speak and they talk, and almost like that picture there, they embrace each other, and he says, "Go and fetch father, bring everyone, bring the families, there's plenty of land and food and grain, and you can come and live here." And I think their desires for a bit of grain and mercy was far exceeded in this great deliverance that they received. So we know, like them, we have many different desires, and desires that are met and not met during this life. And so in that next picture, I think you can almost taste it. There's something about something delicious, something that just looks so good. You just want it, flapjacks. You know, and in Psalm 34, it says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." And, you know, for us to desire something, we first need to taste it. We first need to, like a little baby needs to acquire a taste for something, and it starts to grow, to desire it more and more. first chapter. So God gives us many good things in this life. We're going to now just go in a bit of a journey, just fly through a few good things in this life that that it's okay to enjoy. God's given these things. God created earth and us and all the good things for us to enjoy. And this is just to sort of stir those desires in us again. A mother's love, Isaiah 66 verse 13. There's something about that comfort that is so good that we desire. There's a quote that says, a mother's love endures through all, through everything. It's just a quote. But we know that, let a mark on them before. Just a mother can love that face or whatever. And that's just so true, that it's sometimes good to know that, that love is just regardless of everything. Then there's healthy living. I say fruit and smoothies and these kawaii things are actually good for you. Genesis 1 verse 29 says God gave us the fruit and the seeds to have us food. Compared to those waffles, they're probably better for you. This was before God said we can have meat as well. And meat's also good. But we know that sometimes we just need healthy food. Our bodies need it. We need exercise. We need to take care of our bodies well. We can actually physically feel sometimes if I don't just need to do some get off the chair and just move a bit. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 19 says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit whom you have from God? So we need to take care, look after our bodies. There's something really great about early morning adventures. I think especially the guys can relate to this, but the ladies as well. Just pushing the boundaries a bit, going out in the wilderness, facing some dangers, camping, breaking out of the mundane type of thing. God has put in us that desire, like it says in Joshua 1, verse 9. To be strong and courageous, sometimes overcome something, and just to take it on. It's good. And quality time. You look at that picture, looks like an early morning forest walk. A mom and a child. And they just so in love and just happy finding each other. And that time in the morning where the Bible speaks about this mercy on you, it's good when you can just forget the worries from yesterday and start fresh. Psalm 50 verse 5 says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. It's that connecting of hearts, when we're quiet and these are good things we desire. Even nature, our furry little friends that we love. And God's given us, sent to us to look after, to take care of. You know, they can't always take care of themselves. We need to have love for them as well. And work sometimes, work is sometimes good, it is good. Doesn't always feel like it. It's hard sometimes. But I don't know about you, but sometimes you get that thing that you just really enjoy doing. Might be a hobby or a project that you take on, woodwork or something. Something at grade. Something that that just feels good. You just sort of commit yourself to something and seeing it through and doing it excellently. And God's led us to do those things as well. It says 1 Corinthians 10 verse 31 that whether we eat or drink, whatever we do, do it all for the glory of God. You can even enjoy that cup of coffee for the glory of God while you're doing those things. Amen. Something like good sound. The appreciation of we are privileged when we have all our senses. We can hear, we see, smell, all the rest. Proverbs 4 verse 20 says, be attentive to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Let's hear with our hearts, with our ears as well. Looking at earphones and headphones, I remember, I don't know, where do you still go to music stalls, like in a mall or something? Don't get them so much anymore. But yeah, I just have that memory of putting on those, really, they always have the best quality earphones in those stores. They put on the newest album, and you can stand there and listen to it, and you can hear every crystal clear instrument sound coming through. And you buy it, you take it home, and it doesn't sound so good on your iPod. But it's good to appreciate the sound. Our children are blessing. Proverbs 17 and 6 says, grandchildren are the crown of the age, and the glory of children is their fathers. So it's looking at the picture, it's so beautiful. You know, those things, we're not also privileged to still have our grandfathers even. And those are special blessings that are linked to us for seasons. It's a privilege. And calling them the time and really just appreciating the time with them is something good that we should know about. Last one on this list, I think, is romance. Kate saw my slide and she said, romance and Romans, it looks almost the same. And God's word is romantic as well. It says in Romans 5 verse 5, romance is that thing that they define it as the excitement and the mystery that goes with love. When there's romance involved, and whether it's a romantic relationship or, you know, it can be romance in a long-standing relationship as well. But there's something that, there's so many emotions that go with our desires, that is expectations. Are we going to have this date night? Or are we going to do something Saturday morning that's really nice? And the danger with romance is, unfortunately, it doesn't always satisfy. There's sometimes disappointment. But this can also be hard. It can be the loss of a loved one. It can be those moments where your desires can't be satisfied or won't be satisfied. And then it's good to know that God is in that disappointment, in that loss. You won't go away. He won't let us starve. He won't leave us in our disappointment. He says that his hope does not disappoint because of the love of God that has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has given to us. So we have something to hold on to. But these things are all good, and we should desire these things because it's beautiful. But now we come to the best thing. That God alone truly satisfies our spirit. There's nothing that can satisfy our spirit as God does. And back to Psalm 34 with me. It says, like we read in the beginning, "I taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him." I'm going to read it again. "I taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed man who trusts in Him." And it's as if it's saying in this verse that our satisfaction, that goodness that we can taste of the Lord comes from trusting in Him. And this is what we're doing here this morning when we come in to meet with Him. Trusting in Him is in that communion of this communion that we have here. We're going to have communion afterwards. So it's quiet times, it's the time in His presence. That's where we taste His goodness. It's hearing His voice. And it's in stepping out and trusting Him. That's what. Going from that place and taking that goodness with us into the day. That's real sustenance. That's really satisfying our soul. We trust Him. And I was reminded of 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13 as well. It's not on the slide, but the chapter of love. And at the end it says that abide now these three. It is faith, love, and hope, right? Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And we experience all three of those when we in God's presence. Our faith in Him, in those quiet times, we put our hope in Him, our trust in Him, and we experience His love, and we declare our love to Him. Those are those sweet moments. And from this place, I mean, all the good things can flow from there, from His sweetness, from His goodness. All God's works and mighty deeds, His deliverance, His forgiveness, our going and ministering to others, sharing their faith, love, and hope with others. We cannot really appreciate any of those fruits if we don't first appreciate His goodness of just being in His presence, trusting Him. So our desire for God and His goodness, it leads us in a direction. So our desires, you know, what we desire determines what our actions are going to be, and it leads us in a certain direction. So let us start every day in trusting Him humbly, because then we'll be blessed. Yeah, we have all these desires, and some of those desires are good and some of them are bad during the day. And we have to choose. So if we start our day in this sweet experience of God's goodness, we can take that into the day with us and choose to hold on to that, or we can sort of forget about it and be led by other desires during the day. during a week or during the year, we're out. So we must choose. Genesis 4 verse 8 says that if you do well, will you not be accepted as not like Cain and Abel? So choose well. But if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, that you should rule over it. And then, so you can, when all different desires come, and it can be good desires and bad desires, but you have to choose the best of it. And you have to rule over the others and deny the others. So it's about priorities. And now maybe just an example, like to make it practical. So you know, I have this time, you spend a quiet time with the Lord, and this time I cross the line, just quite to sit the other day. He always asks himself, what is his confession when he goes out of leaves his quiet time? Something that he can resolve before God in his heart. So you believe that prayer closet with the confession, and other things come up. So say you've made a confession to the Lord to do something because of this desire of this goodness leading us to want to prove our love back to God. And now something comes up. Your family wants to plan a weekend, and so it happens to fall on the same time that you now resolve to do something before. So in that instance, you have to know that you've made this confession, this commitment to the Lord. And although our family time is so good and so blessed and so important, there's one thing that we should desire more than any. And it doesn't mean that we shouldn't ever have those good things. Those good things we must enjoy, and we must do those things. But I'm talking about when you know the Lord has spoken to you and he's shown you, and you ask that, or you actually confess to the Lord to do something and you go to God. So then to follow through, and to choose and to say, my greatest desire comes first in those times. Sometimes it's small things, like, you know, every day in your quiet time, something maybe stands out for the day to keep your joy in the day. Now, in the day, you're going to be busy with work, pressure comes, and you have to choose, and you have to remember that this was the sweet desire, that was the goodness to taste this morning with the Lord. That's the best thing you can have in this day. Are you going to give it up? And I'll just go now with just everyone else. Just go through the work. Are you going to change something in that moment in the day where you choose and say, I'm going to keep my joy. God showed me I must keep my joy today. So, now what are the things that respect us? You know, there are so many things, but it's reminded of that Matthew 13, the leaven and the wife or the woman who hid the leaven into the 3 months of meal. I think the problem is like that. The kingdom is hidden in this time, but the leaven, you know, the kingdom is invisible. So it's easy to lose sight of those good things of the kingdom in our heart. But we also know that, like that leaven, is going to rise. One day it will be impossible to miss. We won't be able to ignore God's kingdom. And so much better to choose now, keep our eyes fixed on His kingdom. Yeah, so how do we do it? I mean, it's hard. sometimes we need some guidelines. So we need to generate that appetite for tasting God's goodness. And there are many ways, we know, ways in worship, like we did this morning, that creates an appetite for being in His presence. Fellowship, you know, like this, or on the camp on the weekend. Psalm 133, it says, "How good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity." It's good, it's those sweet moments. Those are the things that cultivate in us an appetite for God's goodness. And then, of course, also word and prayer. The Bible, farming, and prayer. So, I'm gonna go on to the next slide to end this off. On the weekend, it was so encouraging to remember that we all hear God's voice, and it's actually so simple to hear God's voice. And He made us do a simple exercise of soaps. We just practice, and we just take a little piece of scripture and just read through it, and write down what stands out for us. God speaks to you in your life. So we need to cultivate that desire to hear God, to hear from Him, to take what we hear into our day, to read it out. Christopher, could you get involved on the slide, if you can, on to word and prayer and desire to hear. So soaps, just quickly, it stands for scripture. So read the Bible. It stands for observing. So what in that little piece that you read in the morning, what stands out to you, what do you observe? And then write down how does it apply to you? And then P is prayer. This is asking and praying that God will help you to hold on to this, what He has shown you. And then S is just to share, is just to also help you, remind you through the day by sharing with someone. And then also that will remind you of what you heard from God. So we were given Psalm 1. I'm just going to quickly read Psalm 1, verse 1 to 3 again. And sort of share with you what stood out to me. It starts with, I didn't quote the whole part, but Psalm 1, verse 1, "Blessed is the man that goes on, whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law He meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season." And right, for me this morning, that morning, like Chris said, I was sitting under the burning bush. It was behind me. I was under a bush. And what stood out to me that morning was really delighting in the water. The reason for this sermon. So delighting in it, you know, it makes all the difference if we start at finding our importance in God's word and seeing the importance and wanting to hear from God from it. So I underlined a few words. I'm just going to do a little word study here. So it says, "Blessed." can also be translated as happy, satisfied. He's speaking about desire. So if we love God's word, we'll be satisfied, we'll be blessed. Delight. The Amplified Version says, delight and desire the law of the Lord. What we're speaking about today. And the law is obviously the word. To meditate is that just a remaining mindful of what we read in His word. And then day and night is just frequently, as often as you can, think about it. Remember what you read, what God showed you, what you heard Him say. And then planted is like being rooted, you know, by that river. You're going away into your day, away from His word, but you stay rooted, being anchored. And then the fruit is bringing forth goodness. It's this goodness that you taste it, that you experience, that actually they now go and bring forth that goodness yourself. And the three bad words, the verbs in this delight, the things that we have to do is delight, meditate, and bring forth fruit. So we've now spent a lot of time on delighting. I think it's established in delight in the Lord. But just on the next few slides, other two verbs, we'll talk about that shortly. So meditate. Psalm 119, verse 11 also says, that your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. That's that place where you actually almost like spiritual warfare. It's like you have to overcome through holding on to the word. And then there's a quote, sort of a caution from A.W. Tozer. I was going to read for us. It's a caution that says that the idea of cultivation and exercise is no more. Has no place anymore in our day and age, because we find it too slow and too common. Ouch. Yeah, we're in a rushed world. This was A.W. Tozer probably a while ago, but you know, wrote this. We read our chapter or have our short devotions and rush away. It will require a determined heart and a lot of courage to wrench ourselves loose from the grip of our times and return to biblical ways. And it will take courage for us to take what we've received in our quiet time, heard from God, and actually apply it. It will take discipline. It will take some effort to read it well and to work through it, to make it happen. And now the parable of the sower says that those thorns and thistles that smother the seed, the good seed, it is when it actually says it's all our other desires of life that draws us away. So all the other desires that actually makes us forget the goodness that God has shown us, the seed that He has placed in our heart this morning. And lastly, just bringing forth fruit, the other thing we have to do. And this comes easy, much easier when you have a desire, right? When you want to do something and you're already halfway there, and you've got it in the mind, and you've got it down, you just have to do it. It's not actually work. So, to conclude this long desire have a summary there. That God created many good things, trusting Him. And that includes trusting in Him. That faith and see that the Lord is good. That's one of the good things that He has given us to enjoy. Always seek His goodness more than all the other good things. Seek His goodness more. It's that farm in His presence that's the goodness. It's the farm at the river. It's that faith, love, and hope in God that sets our hearts on fire. Our desires, like we now said, directs our actions. What we desire, that's what we're going to head into, that direction. Ask yourself, are your desires drawing you to His kingdom, or is it drawing it away from His kingdom? Then maybe check your goals and your priorities, check your plan, and how do I pursue desiring Him most of all in my life? Spoke about worship and prayer and the word, solitude, rest, fellowship, fasting. What's my priorities like? And in Psalm 1, we said delighting in hearing His voice, delighting in His word, and then meditating on it and bearing fruit. So I want to bless you and say, may you be planted, may you be blessed, may you be satisfied in how you trust in. Go out